This may sound like Groundhog Day to some of you, but if we listen to the radio, if we watch TV or read the newspaper or go to CNN.com, one thing is for sure, mankind's human nature is front and center. Whether it takes the shape of political races, ongoing global terrorism, international posturing for power, such as what we see Russia, China, and the European Union, or even the carnality on display for all of the world to see on The Bachelorette. So you know that this is a continuation of that message I gave last week, because a couple of people at least came and said, you got to expand that out into a sermon. It's too big of a topic. And as I was working on my sermonette last week, I thought, it is too big of a topic. And so I rushed through a little bit. So the sermon today is entitled, The Benefits of Christian Meditation. Last week we covered the who, what, when, and where, why, and how, that sort of thing of Christian meditation. But this one is the benefits of Christian meditation. And here's the inspiration. I briefly referred to an email that Chuck Smith sent out to 20 or 21 of us last week. And I want to read that. This is really what inspired the sermonette last week. He says, he sends one of these out every week, roughly. Once in a while he drops a ball and forgets, but I think his goal is to get something out to the fellows all through the Caribbean to encourage them to bring their best foot forward each Sabbath. He writes, "Greetings and happy Sabbath to all of you. Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I personally feel need more meditation in my life. My life gets so busy at times that I can forget even what day it is. Thankfully, God has given us his Sabbath." I'll echo that. In several days this week, I thought, what day is it? Is it Tuesday, really? But it was Wednesday. I think the same thing happened on Thursday this week. It is easy, as busy as it is, to forget what day of the week it is. Except on Friday, where I work, it's Jeans Friday. So we always look forward to Jeans Friday where I'm working. He goes on. He says, in a recent study, 22 women experiencing high anxiety were hooked up to heart monitors and told to spend 10 minutes watching the beat of their pulses on special wristwatches. After 12 weeks of this, all of the women had definite improvement in their anxiety levels. An additional 33 women were tested at the same time. Their anxiety reducing exercise was reading magazines. Reading proved less effective than simply watching a pulse beat. What is it about taking 10 minutes to watch your heartbeat that makes one less anxious? One of the doctors involved in the study said that when you sit and focus on these steady rhythms, you're forced to remain in the moment. Dedicating yourself to this task for 10 whole minutes takes your mind off the past and the future, the two hobgoblins of modern life. He continues on, my fellow brothers in Christ, there are 960 working minutes in a day if you allow 8 hours for sleep. This doctor points out that all of us can find 10 minutes for this simple form of meditation, especially when the payoff is less stress. And who could use a little bit less stress in your life? Everybody can raise your hand, because I think we all have enough stress to go around and then go around again. In the Bible, God commanded Joshua to engage in a different but similar kind of exercise. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, Joshua 1:8. When Joshua meditated on God's word, he was focusing on something that would help him live a righteous life at that moment. How can we keep our fingers on God's pulse? As you lie in bed tonight, place your hand over your heart and feel the pulse of your physical life for a few minutes. Then turn your attention to the pulse of your spiritual life, Jesus Christ, who is to live in our hearts. Ask our Savior what he would like us to be thinking about as we fall asleep in our beds. Have a wonderful Sabbath day tomorrow. Agape Chuck. I always love hearing from Chuck. get to hear from him at least once a week. Sometimes I have to wait a couple weeks to hear from him. But that email that he sent was really, really what prompted me to dive into that topic a little bit more last week and develop this even further this week. Many people seem to have a lot of questions about Christian meditation. You know, when I'm in Jamaica, they have a lot of questions about this kind of thing. They're really thinking about this topic. I'm not talking about the kind of meditation that we hear about from Eastern religions and such like that. No contemplation of our belly buttons, anything like that. I'm not talking about that kind of meditation. What I'm talking about is the kind of meditation that glorifies God and Jesus Christ. Just so that we're very, very clear on the kind of meditation that we're studying today. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 1, says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In verse 8, "Meditate on all these things," it says later in this verse. Meditate on these things. Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Again, the benefits of Christian meditation is the title today. And my intention is to look at what meditation in the Bible is, why should we meditate, how we should meditate, and the benefits of Christian meditation. We're told, as we saw above, to meditate on these things. One of my points today is that Christian meditation helps us to cope with what we see in the news and to reduce stress and worry or anxiety. And like I was talking to Suzanne before services today, I can't even listen to the news anymore. I don't want to listen to the political commentary. You know, at the beginning of the primary season, it was fun and comical and interesting, and oh my, every Thursday night just had to be right there watching that circus go on because it was so funny in a lot of ways. But now, it's a lot of accusation. It's a lot of deviousness. It's a lot of deceit going on out there. And so now I flip between about 5 different radio stations in the car as I'm driving here or there because it's just too depressing to listen to. The command to meditate dates way back in history. The Psalms, of course, are full of examples of David and his meditations, what he thought about, how he calmed his mind, how he praised God in the fields. But one of the first, probably the second example in the Bible is found in Joshua. So we referred to this earlier, but I'm going to go to Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses.'" Verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, For to this people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. By way of definition, the original Hebrew word for this meditation, to meditate, as explained by Strong's number 7878, is siach, and it means to muse, complain even, thought that was interesting, talk of, consider, or sing. Meditating, further defined from a Christian perspective, means to engage in thought or contemplation, reflect, to engage in spiritual introspection, to train and calm the mind, to engage in devotional contemplation, especially prayer, to think or reflect, especially in a calm and deliberate manner. So the synonyms for meditate are reflect, pray, ponder, muse, ruminate, cogitate, study, think, contemplate. Did you know that cows meditate? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, they live out in pastoral, beautiful fields, and they're not distracted by telephones and TV and news and politics. They meditate. Cows meditate. In fact, cows are known as ruminants, also known as animals that are ruminants, or, you know, cattle, sheep, goats, deer, and some others are known as ruminants. You know, we see cattle around here. We have lots of cattle in our fields here in Middle Tennessee. It seems like they're always eating, or afterward, they're always lying down. Well, while they're lying down, you know what's happening. They're meditating. They're contemplating, these cows are. I know they are. They tell me these things. Cows and I have a really special relationship. You know, lots of cows have come up to my land over the years, and they've sort of gone through a transformation of sorts. Just ask anybody who's been up to my house for dinner. Cows meditate. So I want to talk about cows and how they meditate a little bit. Now, ruminants, you know, I rely really heavily on Wikipedia sometimes, and found some good commentary on Wikipedia about ruminants. Ruminants are mammals that are able to acquire nutrients from plant-based food by fermenting in a specialized stomach prior to digestion, principally through microbial actions. The process typically requires the fermented ingesta, known as cud, something we've all heard about, to be regurgitated and chewed again. The process of rechewing this cud to further break down plant matter and stimulate digestion is called rumination. So that's how cows are meditating when they're lying down out there in a field, ruminating. The word ruminate comes from the Latin ruminare, which means to chew over again. So there are roughly 150 species of ruminants, including domestic and wild species. Ruminating animals, mammals include cattle, goats, sheep, giraffes, yaks, deer, antelope, and some other macropods. The primary difference between a ruminant and a non-ruminant is that ruminants have a four-compartment stomach. The four parts are the rumen, reticulum, omasum, and obamasum. Hope I pronounced that somewhat closely right. In the first two chambers, the rumen and the reticulum, the food is mixed with saliva and separates into layers of solid and liquid material. Solids clump together to form the cud or the bolus. The cud is then regurgitated and chewed to completely mix it with saliva and to break down the particle size. And it goes into some more detailed scientific terms. Through the rumen and the reticulum have different names. They represent the same functional space as digesta, can move back and forth between them. Together, these chambers are called the reticulumen. The degraded digesta, which is now in the lower liquid part of the reticulumen, then passes into the next chamber, the omasum, where water and many of the inorganic mineral elements are absorbed into the bloodstream. After this, the digesta is moved to the true stomach, the obamasum. The obamasum is the direct equivalent of the monogastric stomach, the simple stomach it's referred to. And digesta is digested here in much the same way. It then moves through the intestine and it's completely digested. Pretty complex process, wouldn't you say? Mankind, by contrast, has a simple stomach, one stomach chamber, that performs most all of that in one place, the same as pigs, chickens, rats, etc. So it's a very complex type of digestion that's happening out in the fields in Middle Tennessee while cows are meditating. So as we're told to adapt, we really are told to adapt to a ruminant kind of a digestion system when it comes to digesting God's word. And isn't that interesting? We're told to meditate, ruminate, muse, ponder, contemplate, and pray when it comes to God's ways. So back to humankind. Biblical meditation is the practice of reflecting, musing, contemplating God, his principles, his word, and even his presence. It's also an effective way to calm our minds so that we could move from knowing about God to really knowing God personally. So if we're interested in truly knowing God personally, then meditation is for us. If this is something we should be doing because God tells us to meditate on his law and his ways, are we? Or if we think he's serious, how can we be a little bit more intentional about making time for meditation in our lives now? I feel like, personally, I have a lot of room to improve when it comes to really abiding in the vine as meditation goes. There are countless benefits to Christian meditation. However, three really great benefits kind of pop out. Number one, it allows us to spend more quality time with God. Number two, teaches us to control our thought life. And three, helps us to maintain mental health and emotional well-being. Meditation could be described by these thoughts: reflection on Christ, pondering the Word of God, contemplating the Scriptures, focusing entirely on God, silent prayer, alone with God in solitude, and surrendering the moment to God. Here's a way to define Christian meditation in one sentence. Christian meditation is a practice used to quiet our minds and bring us into a state of being and oneness with God. So it's possible throughout the day to be transported to a high level of meditation, even all through the day, if we desire it. And we need it. So now we know what it means to meditate. The scripture even tells us that meditation leads to success in our Christian life. But how? Let's look at how we personally gain or benefit by regular meditation, hence the title today. Number one benefit is greater health. Studies have shown that 95% of diseases are hastened or worsened by stress. Stress has become the underlying precursor, even cause, of most illnesses. Meditation is a way doctors are actually beginning to prescribe to reduce stress. The second benefit is it counters negative thinking. And isn't the battle of the mind the greatest battle that we face daily, especially if we're really, really busy all throughout the day? Jesus emphasizes throughout the scripture that we must renew our minds. Our natural mind is naturally wicked, depraved, and easily led astray. Here's why. Romans 1, beginning in verse 20. Romans 1 and 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his external power, eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So if we're not in control of our thoughts, then those thoughts are in control of us. And many of us suffer from negative thinking and compulsive thinking. That means we may have difficulty throughout the day turning off the faucet of thoughts parading around in our head. But there is an escape from that: Christian meditation. Practicing regular Christian meditation helps us to quiet our minds and to clear the way to God. The number three benefit of Christian meditation is it helps us to maintain peace of mind. Have you ever turned your cares over to God, only to take them back several minutes later, or maybe it's several hours later? You didn't want them back. You made an honest effort to let them go, but before long they crept back in, stealing your peace. This is a vicious cycle for many of us. It's something that's very difficult for me personally, to give up those concerns and those worries and those cares. I think all of us deal with this. All of us struggle through that, giving those concerns to God and then maybe just pulling them right on back in. Christian meditation can help us to give those concerns, those worries to God. Benefit number four, it's a question. Are we living the life of our dreams? And most people might say, no, not really. No way, not living the life of my dreams. But you know, we really are, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, our current thoughts and meditations are responsible for the life that we're living. Benefit number five. Does God seem like a distant force in the universe? If he seems like a distant force in the universe, Christian meditation can bring that distance a lot closer to us. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." We could choose one of those. We could choose any verse in the Bible that's encouraging to us, that shines light on the darkness, and meditate on that, to pull it out of our pocket several times a day and just read it again, be reminded that it's really not as bad out there as we think it is. But we've got to get close. We've got to have God's closeness to us. Benefit number six, has God's voice become unhearable to us? Throughout Scripture, when God has something to say, he usually says it in a still, small voice. That still, small voice is easily drowned out by the radio, the television, the telephone. Easily drowned out by that. God's word will be drowned out if we're listening to the radio and the TV and the newspapers and CNN.com more than we're listening to his word. So when we're practicing Christian meditation, grant yourself freedom from the phone when you're in meditation. Benefit number seven, trying to overcome some bad habit or a bad behavior. You know, this is going to hit close to home because we all gravitate towards something that makes us feel better. And sometimes it's not Christian meditation. What is it that we're really resting on to feel better? Regular, intentional Christian meditation can help us break the cycle of looking outside of the Holy Spirit for happiness. Psalm 46:10 tells us, again, to be still and know God. In order to know God, we need to spend more time with him. And my argument is we should spend more time with him in Christian meditation. Now that we've seen the benefits of Christian meditation, these are just a few, let's take another look at number one, what meditation is in the Bible. David, a man after God's own heart, something I kind of take comfort in. You know, we've heard that, you know, David spent a lot of time out in the fields tending sheep, probably got to see stars like we never get to see stars. You know, unless you live way out in the country, you get to see some stars. He had lots of time to meditate on God's law, and it's very well documented all through the Psalms. Psalm 63:6, David, a man after God's own heart, meditated on God himself. Psalm 63:6 says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." David meditated on God's wonderful works. In Psalm 77:12, he says, "I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." That's something like if you're with your wife or with your husband and you get a chance to get out where it's quiet and it's dark and you can watch the stars, or you can get out in the woods and you can take a nice, calm, cool walk on the Sabbath morning and go to the woods. You see God's work. And you can't help but start talking about it. It's just a matter of fact. David meditated on God's word. Psalm 119:15 says, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." Verse 23 in Psalm 119 says, "Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes." So the purpose of this type of meditation, Christian meditation, is to provide us spiritual joy and strength through the nourishment that that meditation provides. Next, number two, why should we meditate? First, it's a source of joy and strength. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 2 said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Second, Meditation renews our minds. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Finally, number three, how should we meditate? Number one, we should make the Bible our primary focus of our meditation. We should read it contemplatively every day. We should take those words in just like a cow takes in grass and digests it and swaps it back and forth between those chambers and chews on it and thinks about it again. Maybe we write down a verse on a 3x5 card and put it in our pocket and get reminded of it every few hours of the day and think about it and spend time on each word of that verse. Number three, we should read it in a state of prayer in our heart while we're meditating on God's word. As we read, occasionally read it aloud to ourselves. That Hebrew word in Psalm 1:2 means to mutter. Reading slowly and audibly helps to focus one's mind on the words. Further thoughts on Christian meditation. Psalm 119, verse 19. I understand more than all my teachers because I meditate on your instructions. So Christian meditation also isn't passive rest. It's actively practicing the presence of God, whether that's focusing on Scripture or who God is. Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life describes meditation this way. Meditation is focused thinking. It takes serious effort. You select a verse and reflect on it over and over in your mind. If you know how to worry, I love this that he said, if you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate. So, you know, we're 95% there, right? I know my wife is, you know, she knows how to worry. And, oh, her mother knows how to worry. Bless her heart, love her, but, oh, my, does she worry. What's really probably happening is she's probably just really great at meditation. Bless her heart. He also says, no other habit can do more to transform your life and make you more like Jesus than daily reflection on Scripture. If you look up all the times God speaks about meditation in the Bible, you will be amazed at the benefits He's promised to those who take the time to reflect on His Word throughout the day. In Satisfy Your Soul, Bruce Demarest writes, a quieted heart is our best preparation for all this work of God. Meditation refocuses us from ourselves and from the world so that we reflect on God's word, His nature, His ability, and His works. So we prayerfully ponder, muse, and chew the words of Scripture. The goal is simply to permit the Holy Spirit to activate the life-giving word of God. When we first begin practicing Christian meditation, we'll be woefully distracted by everyday things, stuff coming into our minds that have nothing to do with meditation. So we need to learn how to not focus on the distractions, but learn to let them go instead. Easy ways to include Christian meditation in our day. There are natural times during the day when we can easily meditate. We can train ourselves to think about God's word at the start of the day. We could use part of our lunch break from school or work to get to a quiet place and think on the things of God. We can make sure that God's word is not only the first thing that we think about when we wake up in the morning, but also is the last thing that occupies our mind before we go to sleep. Kind of like what Chuck mentioned in that email that he sent out a little ways back. So in conclusion, Christian meditation on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report can not only protect us from the onslaught of sin all around us, but it will also produce the peace that comes directly from the Prince of Peace himself. And that will cause those of us around us to wonder why we are so fearless. Who knows? Maybe it happened for you this week. Maybe it'll happen for you this coming week. Maybe it'll happen tonight or tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe one will come up and ask us, or all of us, for a reason for the hope that is in us.